from WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moldine. It's Monday, November 28th. Coming up, the massive farm bill is up for renewal next year, but even politically savvy people don't totally understand it. We'll take a closer look with Harvest Public Media coming up in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Illinois voters passed a constitutional amendment this month guaranteeing workers the right to collective bargaining. A University of Illinois professor weighs in on where that leaves independent contractors. Mawa Iqbal has more.
Michael Leroy says the current language doesn't include workers in the gig economy, like Uber drivers or freelance artists. He's an employment professor at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign, who says he could see follow-up legislation that mirrors the so-called ABC test used in other states.
A simple three-part test of who is an employee. Is the individual subject to the control of the work organization? Is this in the usual course of business for the employer? Those are the two major factors.
Leroy says this would narrow the occupations considered to be contract work, granting more workers the right to organize. I'm Mawa Iqbal.
The Illinois football team retained the Land of Lincoln Trophy after blowing out in-state rival Northwestern 41-3 on Saturday in Evanston. Fighting Illini head coach Brett Bielema was away from the team much of the week after the death of his father-in-law. That came just a week after Bielema's mother passed away. After the game, Bielema said it's been a very tough time for his family, but something his father-in-law wrote in his office helped get him through.
He had a yellow pad written down Saturday, 3:30, Big Ten Network, watch Brett. And so that was on his list to do. So I think today he watched us.
Illinois safety Sidney Brown returned both a fumble and an interception for touchdowns. The Illini finished the regular season 8-4 and will find out their destination for a bowl game in the next few weeks. Champaign County's incoming county executive says construction work on an expanded and renovated county satellite jail should start soon, depending on the winter weather. Illinois Newsroom's Jim Meadows reports.
County executive-elect Steve Summers was already involved with the jail expansion project as chair of the Champaign County Board's Facilities Committee. He says he hopes the project can be completed in less than 2 years.
I know we are spending about $2 million a year housing prisoners out of county. That actually, that figure may be a little bit low. But that's the rationale in trying to move this project forward as quickly as possible.
Champaign County began paying other counties to hold some of its jail inmates shortly before it closed its dilapidated downtown jail earlier this year. Summers says construction to renovate and expand the satellite jail as the county's sole jail is budgeted at around $22 million. I'm Jim Meadows, Illinois Newsroom.
The jail project is one of two major building projects Champaign County has planned. The other is the renovation of the County Plaza building in downtown Urbana to hold county offices. The Champaign Park District will have a new executive director in about a month. The Park Board voted last week to hire Sarah Sandquist to succeed current director Joe DeLuce, who's retiring. Sandquist is a University of Illinois alumnus. She spent the last 5 years as assistant director and then director of Parks and Recreation for Fishers, a suburb of Indianapolis. Before that, Sandquist worked for parks departments in the suburbs of Seattle and Chicago. In a news release, Champaign Park Board President Kevin Miller says Sandquist would be the perfect leader to carry on the legacy of Joe DeLuce, who was with the Park District for 25 years. Still to come, we'll look at how the midterm elections could affect the huge farm bill up for renewal next year. That story from Jonathan All is coming up next on 217 Today.
Hi, my name is Katie Buzard, WIL 100th History Curator. Today's listeners might not immediately associate WILL with sports, but for a time, tuning to WILL was the only way to catch Illini football, basketball, and baseball games outside of the stands. In the early days, the broadcasting of Illini sports was a popular component of programming that helped to both promote the university and win support for the young station. Join me as I explore the history of sports broadcasting and more at will.illinois.edu/will100.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. The Congress that takes office next year will feature a Senate with a narrow Democratic majority and a House with a narrow Republican one. One of the biggest items the divided Congress will have to address is the Farm Bill. Harvest Public Media's Jonathan All reports, what's not clear is how that split in control will affect the wide-ranging and massive legislation.
On a cold, windy morning right before the midterm elections, shoppers at the farmers market in Rolla, Missouri, were perusing meats, vegetables, and other products. They care about their food and where it comes from. Shopper Phyllis Mayer says she knows the Farm Bill is important, but that's about where her knowledge ends.
And I try and keep up on things, but I don't even know what's all in the Farm Bill.
Susan Rassman also says the Farm Bill is important, but adds it shouldn't matter what party someone's in when it comes to food.
I think we have good candidates on both sides. They just aren't, I think, really coming forward because of such polarization.
As partisan and divided as Congress is, the Farm Bill may still be neutral ground.
The Farm Bill is almost unique in recent history as being a bill that typically has supporters from both parties and opponents from both parties.
Pat Westhoff leads agricultural research policy at the University of Missouri. He says even with a clear lack of partisanship, there will be many disputes over the Farm Bill and its spending that could reach more than $500 billion. The biggest portion of the Farm Bill, more than 75% of total dollars spent, is on the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. Ellen Vollinger is the SNAP director for the Food Research and Action Center, a nonpartisan group that advocates for food programs. She says making sure people have enough to eat isn't and shouldn't be a partisan issue.
Benefits are going to average about $6 a person a day for SNAP. So it's not a program that provides really sufficient food purchasing power for people to be able to afford a reasonably decent diet on a sustained basis.
Vollinger says her group is going to lobby hard for the new Farm Bill to increase the level of benefits and make sure they are accessible to everyone who qualifies. For farmers, the big issue will be crop protection programs, things like crop insurance subsidies and price protections. Westhoff of the University of Missouri says there will be added pressure from farmers to bolster those programs because of inflation and supply chain problems.
So the current higher costs we're experiencing right now, will only be reflected in support for producers. So we have a period right now of very, very low support to the farm sector coming from basic commodity programs.
Just as the Farm Bill is up for renewal, Westhoff says farmers are hurting because current government support programs for farmers haven't caught up with inflation and market issues caused by the Russian invasion of Ukraine. That's likely to be a top priority for agriculture interests. Climate change is one area that may be affected by party affiliation. Democrats tend to be more open to such legislation than Republicans. Ricardo Salvador is the director of the Food and Environment Program with the Union of Concerned Scientists.
The Farm Bill hasn't touched issues of climate change since the 1990s.
Salvador says, as shocking as that may be, his organization is optimistic about getting environmental provisions in the upcoming legislation.
In the 21st century, we just cannot afford to have federal legislation on agriculture that doesn't recognize the reality of climate change. And more importantly, the fact that agriculture both causes important greenhouse gas emissions and can help us mitigate greenhouse gas emissions.
Salvador says things are changing rapidly in the U.S. For example, farmers who were among the most ardent climate change deniers have come around and are among the groups looking to promote new practices to decrease greenhouse gases. While congressional committees have been meeting to discuss the Farm Bill throughout the year, the new Congress will convene January 3rd, and it could take them most of 2023 to pass the mammoth legislation. I'm Jonathan All, Harvest Public Media.
Harvest Public Media is a collaboration of public media newsrooms in the Midwest and Great Plains, including WILL. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says we'll have mostly cloudy skies today with a high of 48 degrees. That's all for today. 217 Today is produced by Sydney Wood. Reporting today contributed by Mawa Iqbal, Jim Meadows, and Jonathan All. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moline. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.